Hello and welcome back to All My Darlings, where we are reading Marguerite Young's Angel in the Forest, finishing it up. And this is a really short chapter, so I'm just going to read this real quick. It's like one page. What you doing? Oh, okay, play with that. I was hoping the cat would stay on my lap while I was reading, but he decided not to. We're on page 320, Utopia in Bedlam. Like I said, it's a page. More and more, Robert Dale gave himself up to the hypothesis that the mind dwells separately from the body, even in this lifetime. More and more, wherever he went, spiritual beings accosted him. He could hardly step out into his garden at New Harmony to take the evening air without finding some new visitant. Spirits, when unconfined by such parties as the Holmeses, were almost a torment too great to bear. The air was so thick with spirits, Robert Dale could have cut it with a knife. Where others saw only a few yellow lilies in the waning light, he saw his mother or her embroidery needles. The wind was a sadness. More than once, Jessie emerged from his weeping willows, although, in less inspired moments, it occurred to Robert Dale that she must be a hallucination, for the dear lady was putting on flesh at Glasgow and quite unaware that she had joined the ranks of the immortals. The dead, however, were insistent, impossible to reason with nothingness. Even after evening, between the oleanders and the garden pump emerged a quiet, sad gentleman, and that was very strange. He wore only one glove, as his right hand was completely missing, perhaps as a result of friction in the infinite. He was an Austrian with a Spanish accent. Benjamin Franklin, who always appeared between the church bells ringing, confessed that he too was being worn down, although he showed no evidence of any loss but appeared to have all his properties, including a coonskin hat. Perhaps it was because, even as a spirit, he had exercised a certain amount of prudence and had avoided whirlwinds. Not all were so fortunate. There was no harmony at all in the universe, no center but whirlwinds, evidently. Time and again, wherever Robert Dale was, there was a lovely snow-white mulatto girl who confessed that she had not attained the freedom she had expected to find. She had longed to make the acquaintance of Abraham Lincoln, but had hardly crossed his path as yet. In the confusion of so many whirling stars, blind spots, immense holes, whirlwinds of ether and cosmic dust, she clasped, oddly enough, an empty-headed, yellow-haired doll in her hands. So almost every spirit... So almost every spirit seemed in his own way pitiful. An English poetess who had died in the wild coast of Guinea emerged from a bed of violets along the back fence in the company of a white-bearded monkey, Diana, who gaped. She said that now, if she chose, she could write the most beautiful poem that was ever written, an elegy for Diana, for the sense of death had never been lost by those who enjoyed a life beyond this life. There was always something missing, always a space outside of God. Robert Dale, more and more melancholy, drank whiskey in large quantities, though it gave him no relief from horrors and grotesque shapes, though it multiplied the number of their visitations. Where was the truth? Where was the light? Where was the kingdom of God? Jessie would always put on weight in Glasgow. Fanny Wright's old party would always laugh at him. Gradually he began to feel that his senses were numbed. That numbness was all he wished for. Visions, like dogs chained to a sled, drew him over the arctic waste of non-existence toward no goal he knew of. At any moment his hands might drop off like golden rain trees in autumn. By and by he would be much happier, the Marquis de Lafayette assured him. By and by he would be himself a visitation in a garden. This expectation was his only hope in life. In moments of less clarity he saw himself as others saw him and was amused. He remarked in one of these rare moments that the best way to inspire the tolerance of one's political enemies is to lose one's mind. Gah! That by such an extreme measure only a Republican can be brought to understand a Democrat. Oh, good Lord. Ain't that the truth? Still, from his great height, wrapped up by clouds and girt around by stars thick as the sands of the sea, he saw the world for what it was, a series of illusions of grandeur. The universe was all a lie from beginning to end, not even a straw of truth to be found there. Full of nature rose like Triton over the waves and turned into an octopus, carrying in every hand a golden book, and every book a different writing. The great joker in the philosophic pack was God, was man, was everything, was cancer, was chemistry, was an octoroon, was a golden rose, was a pig snout, was Jesse, was a billiard ball, was a maze, was an empty-headed doll, was ostrich eggs, was Napoleon, was a cherry tree, was a rectangle, was mountains, was nature, was human nature, was Fanny Wright's old party, was a table, was a chair, was St. Ursula, was Chicksaga, was brain fever, was happiness, was an acorn,
Was blocks of populace? Was an albatross on the banks of the Wabash far away? Was Marmaluke? How his father had lost his shirt in Utopia. Yep, it was a short chapter. We only got one more. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4.5 pages. All right, and then we will be done. I hope you've enjoyed this. I sure have. It was definitely worth a reread. All right, thank you for listening. Bye.